Ken Adams for KRDU Radio in studio with my main pastor dude, Dave Wainscott, Third Day Fresno. Dave, what are you doing in this neighborhood today?
Well, I'm on my way down to teach at Bakersfield, and I just love hanging out with you and your listeners.
Yeah, we've seen on a number of videos when you show up and throw dictionaries on the floor and stuff like that.
I'm telling you, KRDU is going viral all over the world since the internet. And so we're hearing from all over the world. People love our videos, our interviews. It's just awesome what you guys do here.
Speaking of interviews, we've got live on the line right now from down in Southern California that's just a little bit cooler than the Central Valley of California. The head man, the founder, the leader of the Violet Burning, Michael Pritzel. Hiya, Michael.
How's it going, you guys?
It's going pretty darn good. Now, Dave, is it a toss-up? Which are you a bigger fan of, you two or the Violet Burning?
Well, there's only one way to answer that, considering the current company. But the correct answer, no matter what the context, has got to be Violet Burning. And as you saw, several of us have posted, you know, the best band most of you never heard of.
Yeah, I like that. The best band that you've never heard of.
Yep. But now that you've heard of them, you're accountable, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned. We're doing this interview not beside the fact that we're going to have a blast talking to Michael, but Violet Burning going to be in Fresno this coming Sunday night, if you're hearing this before the fact, and I'm talking about Sunday, June 26th. It's going to be at the Neighborhood Thrift Store. Don't worry, it's not just the thrift store. You're not going to be playing amongst racks of clothes, Michael. There's actually a cool little lounge area there with a stage, and we regularly hold events there. So, and that is in, for those folks who want to know, that's in the Tower District of Fresno on Olive Avenue, just almost to Palm, just a little bit east of Palm Avenue. That'll get underway Sunday night at 7:30. Vincent J. Vera, local gifted troubadour, opening the night, and then Violet Burning will be taking the stage shortly after that. Dave, what's the ticket prices on there that night?
It's $15, but keep listening. There's all kind of discounts, including, I don't have in front of me, but the really good news is for starving college students, which we have several in the area. If you got ID, $5. Is that right?
Yeah, $5.
Awesome.
$5,
but you can also get an early RSVP by email to info@thevioletburning.com. And if you email the total number and your name, including yourself, you can get in for, check this out, $10. So do that right away. Info@thevioletburning.com. Just put Fresno event in the title.
Well, since you're the most famous band that few people have heard of, Michael, tell us, what should folks know about the Violet Burning? Who are you? How long have you been around? And what do you do?
Well, the Violet Burning is a rock band that's, you know, existed for, I guess this is probably our eighth or ninth studio album. And the story of our lives, which is what we're doing a release show for there in Fresno. And we're just starting to do some shows around California right now, which is exciting for us. We've spent a majority of, I guess, the last 10 years or so mostly touring in the rest of the United States and Europe. And in particular, the last few summers, we've been concentrating on going further into Eastern Europe and partnering with some missionaries and churches there in Europe to help share the gospel in Europe, and also to work with some of the missionaries in Poland and in Czech Republic and Germany and Switzerland, Netherlands, UK, you know. So we're excited to be back playing a little bit in California, and we're really excited to be returning to Fresno.
Awesome. Yeah. In case anyone doesn't know about you yet, how would you summarize your style? Often people say, who do you sound like? Well, you sound like your own, but who have you often been compared to? How do you summarize your style?
I think that, you know, people usually would say that we have kind of the vibe of a band like U2 or The Cure, but perhaps with more rock. So if you added the rock of a band like, you know, Smashing Pumpkins or Black Sabbath onto the vibe of U2 or Pink Floyd, you kind of end up with a band like the Violet Burning.
It's true.
You mentioned Smashing Pumpkins. I guess looking at some of your bio information online, Michael, I guess some of the folks that have passed through the band over the years have gone on to play with people like Smashing Pumpkins and Michael W. Smith, haven't they?
Yeah. Our band has turned out some wonderful musicians, and I've been really blessed to play with to be surrounded by so many great musicians through the years. And so, you know, I'm not big on the name dropping, but there's plenty out there.
That's why I'm here. I do the name dropping for you.
And I'll drop one too. They also had a drummer at one time who's now with One Republic, and that's an amazing band nowadays too. So we'll drop the names for you.
It's okay if somebody else is doing it and you're not paying them to do it for you, Michael.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I've been following the band for years, almost from the beginning. There's just all kinds of styles, all kind of ways you could talk about as far as genre. But what you guys did recently is just kind of mind-blowing. For one, releasing a triple album in this economy, that was bold, and you guys were so passionate about it. You were so focused on it, and it's getting rave reviews already. To me, it's called The Story of Our Lives. Three albums, as you heard, and it just kind of feels like a journey, you know, and the name Story of Our Lives kind of includes all of your listeners into the hour. It's not quite a concept album. I don't know, you may call it that, but help us get into that. What did it feel like recording the album, and what is it like to you?
Well, for us, The Story of Our Lives is really a concept album told in three parts, and, you know, we tried to name it almost like a classic story, and even in the really exclusive art that we've done for the CD packaging, you know, we tried to make it, you know, shaped like a book and kind of fold out like a book and kind of try to lead you into something bigger than, you know, the simple, you know, low quality MP3 downloads that people spend a lot of money on. And so we named it kind of like a classic story, The Story of Our Lives. Liebe Uber Alles, Black as Death, and The Fantastic Machine are the three parts. And it's sort of about, you know, it's kind of about, you know, we believe that each of us has gifts. You know, someone like Ken obviously manages a number of stations there with Clear Channel and obviously has a great radio gift. Someone like Dave, you know, you're a professor. You've got a great wealth of knowledge and you go out and impact a lot of people's lives. Each of us have these different gifts, but sometimes we don't really belong in the kind of Orwellian type of machine that we are all a part of now. And the story is kind of about that. It's about loss and the beauty that's in brokenness. It's about splendor in the ruins of our lives. It's about choosing death to find life. And I guess really it's about each of us and our journey through this life to find our way home.
Wow. That's one of the recurring images and phrases that just filters and intertext all the way throughout the work, just finding your way home. And that's a journey we can all relate to.
Yeah. I think the challenging thing about a concept album is, you know, we did our best to leave lots of clues in the artwork, the illustrations, you know, the fine art photography, the design, but also the sounds. You know, the way that certain songs are roaring with this kind of riffing rock music, or the beauty of the strings, the cellos, the violins on certain songs, the melancholy, you know, of some of the delay guitars like on Made For You. And then, you know, you'll also, when you're listening, I mean, you'll hear the actual humming and banging of actual factory machines where I was working during most of the recording. And so you'll hear those things in kind of trying to help set the picture, and the lyrics that are sung and the machine voices, everything are placed there intentionally to help give, you know, a bigger picture. And of course, with a concept album, you know, you want to have themes that appear and come and go, and so you'll find different themes both in a melody, right, that I might be singing, but also maybe in a string line or in a guitar line. You'll see these different musical themes that kind of come and go on different songs, all on different albums, and you know, they kind of help tie together the whole big picture.
You mentioned the machinery motif, Michael. It was very interesting that when we first called you, we got your answering machine, and Dave, what was the song that greeted us?
Welcome to the Machine, Pink Floyd. And that's just kind of how it is in modern life nowadays. Yeah.
I love that you said the Orwellian reality that, you know, we may not immerse ourselves in, but we're part of it one way or another, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really are. And I think, I mean, most of us, we don't see it quite as as spooky as it really is. But when you think about it, if you guys, you know, each go home tonight and let's say all three of us decided to do a Google search on the same thing, each of us are going to get different results because the results are catered to us because the machine actually documents every keystroke that all three of us are making on our computers, on our Blackberries, on our iPhones, whatever it is, the devices that we use to connect into the world. Everything is being tracked, and we actually give them permission when we say, do you accept the terms? And we say, yes. Most of us don't read it. Well,
no.
Those terms are allowing them to keep track of what we do, what we're emailing to one another, so that they can advertise to us and figure out how to cater things to really grab our attention and sort of, you know, be that replacement for our affections. And you know, it's really interesting. Even where I live, if I go shopping at Ralph's or Vaughn's or wherever, any of the clubs that I belong to, same thing. They're keeping track of, you know, what deodorant I buy, what toothpaste I buy. And, you know, everything is all tracked because they want to know as much about me as they can, really, so that they can see what my tendencies are towards, so that they can capture my attention, capture my money, ultimately. And, you know, it's really you know, I don't think George Orwell really knew just how Orwellian the culture would actually become.
Here we are, post-1984. Because of the word machine and the image of the machinery shows up quite a bit. There'll be a few times throughout the interview today we'll let you listen to one of the tracks, especially to get you to understand the diversity, the beautiful diversity of the music. But here's one that definitely mentions the machine. It's called Machine Beat Sabbatha. So we'll let you listen to that, and we'll be back with Michael in a couple minutes.
Oh,
Hey, again, hope you enjoyed Machine Beat Sabada. That's from the first album of the new triple album release by The Violet Burning. That album's called The Fantastic Machine. The overall album is The Story of Our Lives. Here's something you might really enjoy, listeners. The new triple CD is released in a variety of formats. The best way to get to any of them is on thevioletburning.com. There's several different versions, several different packages. Let me tell you, Ken, as we just look at this, it's a beautiful package. It's packaged like a book. It's got a beautiful artwork. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I was looking through the insides of it, and there's some great photographs. There's some paintings. And like you said, Michael, this isn't just something you threw together at a moment's notice, is it?
No, we worked on it for about 3 years, really planning the album, planning the illustration, planning the photography, planning how everything would sort of work together. And so it's definitely, we really wanted to raise the bar and challenge ourselves and see if we could make something that really was really special for ourselves. And we wanted to raise the bar on the overall everything, the music, the art, the words, the whole thing.
What was behind the decision to maybe not release it in three parts, I don't know, over the course of a year and a half or 2 years, but to do it as a triple CD all at once?
Well, we felt like the culture has kind of moved towards, I imagine someone like you, you probably are bombarded by a lot of music, and some of it's really great, I'm sure, but I'm sure that a majority of it is kind of mediocre at best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I am as well. As a producer, as an artist that's been making records for a long time, I get sent a lot of music, and usually in exchange for my email address or something like that, as if I need more email coming to me. I'm really glad to pay for great music, but we just felt like there's just such a flood of mediocrity, and the labels, which have mostly disappeared, over the last dozen years or so, have become run by accountants, and accountants, their way is, how do we make more money? And so they've kind of reduced artists to mostly focusing on singles, where they release one song at a time, or maybe three songs, like a three-song EP, like Coldplay is doing right now. And we just thought, well, forget that. Let's do the triple album, and there's only been a handful of triple albums through the years, and one of my favorites, by The Clash, one of the only bands that really matters when it comes to the great rock music, but they attempted it, and we thought, well, if we don't succeed, then at least we'll get 8 good songs out of it.
And speaking of that whole irony, and Ken knows all about single-driven radio and so on, I make the case that you could pick almost any song, even at random, and it would work as a single in some market. But one that I think would obviously be ready to fly for Christian radio or just positive radio would be, it's kind of the climax of the whole album because it's the very last song of the three. It's called Made for You. It just feels like a single. We'll play you an edited ad in just a minute, but anything you want to say about that particular song, Michael?
Well, Made for You is really the end of the story, and I guess, as the character, part three, there's so much to it. I know we're trying to jump in to the end, but I think ultimately there's so many things that are thrown at us in this life. Wherever we go, be it, on our laptops, our phones, the television, the billboards on the highway, everything is trying to capture our attention as if those were the things that we were made for. And I don't know about you guys, but I know that I'm not made by those things and I'm not made for those things. Those things are shallow. Those things leave me feeling empty. And ultimately, I grew up Catholic, and I think that the end of the album is really summed up with the ancient idea that goes back to my Catholic upbringing. We always close, Catholic Mass when I was a kid, or even today, with this prayer usually right before communion, where it says, Almighty God and Father, all things were made by you and for you out of your infinite love, and that's really what this song is that at the end of the journey, the character, having gone through all these things, now comes to the final conclusion and sings pretty much that same lyric, that same idea, that same prayer of, Lord of all creation, I was made by you and I was made for you.
Made for You, the final song of the new Violet Burning release. Hope you enjoyed that. That's just works on so many levels for me. Kind of summarizes not just my life, but probably yours. So we're just so glad to be let in on that. That's probably kind of a good connection to have something like this, you know. We got a whole variety of listeners, you know, with the internet all over the place. Some may have heard that you're a Christian band or a faith-based band. Some listeners may not even interpret your music that way. How would you summarize your identity, your relationship there?
Well, I think ultimately, you know, the same way that you're a professor, you know, I'm a musician, I'm an artist, and in my personal life, I am a man who is into spiritual formation and trying to form my soul, you know, into being a better person. And the way that I really connect with my faith is attending church regularly and praying and reading the scripture. And, you know, I think that there are a lot of artists that do that. There's a lot of people that do that. And ultimately, as I've gotten older, I think that I've of course made a lot of bad choices along the way, like any of us have. I think that, you know, the older you get, really the less you know, you know, quote unquote know, compared to when you were, you know, 21 or 22 and, you know, just out of college, and you kind of knew everything, you know, you were ready, ready to conquer the world. And then, you know, you get a little older and you realize that, hey, you know, things aren't quite as simple. And, you know, so for me, you know, I attend, you know, an Anglican church, and I'm into, you know, the idea of transforming my soul and transforming my spirit and forming it and shaping it through various spiritual practices. And yes, I believe in Jesus as, you know, God, and am humbled by what he's done for all of us.
You mentioned the perspective of taking on the world at 21. Of course, the immortal words of St. Bob Zimmerman, I was so much older then. We're younger than that now.
Yeah, exactly. Thank God for Bob Zimmerman, the great Bob Dylan, those of you who don't know who that is.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you didn't get the Zimmerman station connection, you're probably on the wrong station. But speaking of Bob Dylan, Ken is one of the managers for the opening act. It's just awesome that Vincent J. Vera, who's local, is going to have just a couple songs to kick off the evening. But more often than not, people say he kind of sounds like Dylan, maybe some Beatles. And so we're just excited. It's going to be a good evening dovetailing two different kind of artists. So it's a good time to throw in a commercial for Vincent, huh?
Oh, okay. Yeah, Vincent J. Vera. Does that mean we're going to play one of his songs or what?
No, it just means we're going to let him come.
Okay.
let me summarize the evening. Neighborhood Thrift Cafe, which is so awesome. It's right in the heart of the Tower District. They are so good. They have this thrift store, which is amazing.
It's a ministry, isn't it?
It is amazing. Yeah. It's kind of a partnership between churches and schools. The ones who kicked it off belong to The Well, which is a wonderful local church. But it's awesome because people shop there that have no idea it's any kind of Christian event, and it's not preachy. It's 353 Olive, just northeast of Palm. This Sunday night, June 26th, 7:30 p.m., Vincent J. Vera, followed by the headliners, The Violet Burning. It is all ages, $15 at the door, but don't let that stop you, because it's $10 pre-sale, or with the college ID. And for you starving college students of mine or anyone else's, the very first college students at the door, only $5. That's a steal.
Whoa.
So here's what you do. Get on your email and RSVP an early discount. Let the band know you're reserving. So info@thevioletburning.com. info@thevioletburning.com. Make sure you put Fresno event in the subject and include in the email itself your name and the number that will be attending, including yourself. That'll get you the discount. That's a steal, as you know it nowadays. I mean, how many of us spend three times that much just going out to eat nowadays? And what an incredible event. What an incredible venue. We're looking forward to meeting some new folks, some folks that have been following the band for some years. Anything you want to add, Michael, about what those coming can expect at the gig?
Well, hopefully you can expect some great music and, you know, some clothes shopping, apparently.
Absolutely, yeah. noticed there's a couple of mannequins actually in the venue. Yeah, I noticed that.
Just for the record, they do close the thrift store portion at 7 o'clock, so that will be closed, but the cafe performing arts section will be open that night.
And the cafe will be open, I understand, too.
Oh, okay.
So that's exciting. There's an awesome brother who runs that.
They always have free coffee there.
All right, I'm there. That does it for me.
Hey, can I ask, since... Again, Dave, you're probably the second largest fan in the world of The Violet Burning. Michael, how did you and Dave first get hooked up together?
I'm not sure.
That's how it happens, because I have to draw a blank, too. Well, you know how it goes with fans and bands, especially when you're more independent. I was taking a seminary class in Chicago in 1991. The Gulf War just broke out, and the day the Gulf War broke out, one of the students handed me a cassette. Anybody remember cassette of the Violet Burnings? Very first release. And of course, it blew me away. She said, I think you'll be a fan, and all these years later, still am. But here was our first official connection right around 2001. Started emailing possibilities for a gig here in Fresno. The band came out for a festival in Fresno in 2004, and we kind of stole them in the bleed over and had them come to church in the morning and help us with worship. And so that was our first official connection. The other thing that's been awesome, Ken, you'll know this. As often with bands like this, the fan community just gets a life of its own, mm-hmm. and almost just, it's just an amazing, the intimacy and the depth and the friendship, yeah. life-changing things.
Yeah.
Through the Violet Burnings website, I met, at least online, a wonderful gal named Happy Lee Del Canto, all the way from Chile. And now, that's how we met her. And she now officially calls herself a member of our church here in Fresno. We Skype her, we talk to her, we've gone through stuff together. But it's just because the Violet Burning fan community, because of our common love, obviously, just bleeds over into friendship. And it's life-changing and world-changing. You may have a story or thought too on your fan community, Michael.
I just enjoy listening to you guys.
All right. Well, that makes a good show.
aren't we entertaining?
Yeah, man.
We're good. You can tell you guys are friends of sorts.
I don't know what you call it.
Friends
but
of sorts. I like to say that Dave has completely ruined me for the mainstream American church experience, and I'll be forever grateful.
Hey, that's awesome.
That's a deal.
It's amazing. Someone like Happy is, I've not met her in person, but she's, through the internet, of course, you correspond with people, and she's awesome. And the Violet Burning fans for years have been, just really supportive of us. And, we've never really had the push of a large label or had the blessing of really a manager or a management team or anything like that. And so it's really been, the Violet Burning and the spread of the Violet Burning's music has really been a grassroots effort of the fan base and of them just sharing our music with people. For us, for Lenny and Daryl and myself and some of the other guys who play with us, it's really humbling to have people just love us and support us and share our music with their friends and family.
That's a deal. That's part of the draw.
Dave, because you gave us so many options of discounts and everything else, and you're the one who's kind of the head man behind putting this together, can we give your phone number if folks have questions?
Absolutely. I'll take crank calls. I'll take anything you got. 559-974-2508. That's 559-974-2508 if you want some more information, or you can go on the Facebook event page. That's easy to find. If you just go on Facebook, you can put in Violet Burning Fresno. That should take you to it. Or you can go to tiny.cc/Violet Fresno, and that'll link you to all the information about the gig. tiny.cc/Violet Fresno. We just love the fact that you're listening and love the fact that we'll probably see some of you this Sunday night. Right. And I'll just wrap up this way. I've learned from the master interviewer. Ken and I have interviewed all kind of folks together, and maybe I'll take the last question that he usually asks. It's a wonderful, dangerous question that he sometimes asks the interviewee. Is there anything you thought we'd ask or we should have asked or one last thing you'd like to say? Michael, you got the time.
No, I'm all good. You guys have really covered everything, and thanks so much for supporting us and for sharing our songs. And we're really looking forward to Fresno on Sunday night. And we just had an outstanding rehearsal last night. And we're really excited about the shows this weekend in Northern California, and especially this one at the Neighborhood Thrift on Sunday night.
All right. Well, Dave, bless you. Thanks for stopping in on your trek to Bakersfield to go do some what are you teaching down there today?
Well, I just love the fact that in addition to pastoring, I also teach for a couple of schools. One of them is Fresno Pacific. I love that school. Many of your listeners know they have been there, but they have an extension campus, actually a full-blown campus in Bakersfield. So right now I'm teaching a class called Biblical Perspectives, and I love to sneak in a little Violet Burning references once in a while. So that's where I'm off to. Thanks for having me, Ken.
My pleasure. And Michael, God bless you. Thanks for connecting with us and giving us a good chunk of your day. Looking forward to Sunday night.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ken. Thanks a lot, Dave. Talk to you guys soon.
Oh, the radio